Hello everyone and welcome to JFG Tonight. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? Tonight is Ask Me Anything and we can look at the news. End of the line, Joel was already saying on the regular chat, hey JF, what do you think of Ethan Klein, H3H3, removing all his Jordan Peterson interview videos due to alt-right connections? It's ridiculous. I didn't know that this was going on. You are informing me of this. I hadn't heard of this, but Ethan Klein is it's a special case of a guy who has become so enamored with the system, so willing to submit to the system. It's scary. It's scary that this guy is willing to kneel that much. And it's one of these YouTubers who got favored by the system eventually, when the system became biased. And when the system became biased, he chose to show a sign of allegiance to Susan Wojcicki and the leftism and the whole mainstream thinking, and therefore making of himself a non-YouTuber. It's not YouTubing that you do. When you do this, you are essentially playing the game of the mainstream, and you're doing cable TV. Skatey says, hey JF, I have some news. Ethan Ralph is extending the olive branch. He would like to make full amends, find peace, and mutually trash on Andy Warski with you. He would like to have you on the show. He said he is willing to apologize for insults to your family. He has fallen off with Warski. I don't know. I'm a man of hate. I'm a man of... I don't forgive. I don't forget. I don't know. I don't care about this guy. It wouldn't be difficult for me to accept this and go on his show, but I don't know if I'm interested, because what is in it for me? You know, this guy remains a non-interesting individual. So, and you're telling me on top of it that this is all related to some emotionality around Andy Warski. So he doesn't really regret. He doesn't really realize that going for the family of people as internet personalities is wrong, and so he hasn't understood his lesson yet. So here's what I'm gonna do. In face of your offer here, reported by Skatey, I will be updating my blacklisting of Ethan Ralph for 15 years. And we'll see in 15 years if he has fully understood. Pineapple Platypotamus says, lol, JF, that's what the system wants you to be like. Yes, Ethan Klein is a stellar example of kneeling. By the way, we have news from Odyssey. They say they have made a big announcement on top of their homepage, and it says we have big plans for 2022. So let's have a look at what they're planning. I'm very excited, because when that kind of guy puts their technological know-how to create that kind of platform, it's a game changer, really. And it's been a game changer for our show. I've been finally able to express things freely. We can discuss about vaccine, about edgy stuff, politics. We can debunk stuff that is false sometimes. I couldn't even say stuff that I disagree with on YouTube. I wanted to debunk it, but I was unable, because Susan and her algorithm would ban me for mentioning the opposing view to mine. So now we can finally do this on Odyssey. They say there's lots that goes into building a revolutionary video platform. In 2021, we shifted a lot of focus towards adding new features, live streaming, cash tipping, playlist, RSS support, stickers, and a whole lot more. This is all great, and we obviously intend on adding more features, but we also intend to put more focus into getting the fundamentals right. They are working on an Android app. Amazing. Now, The question remains about whether the App Store will eventually ban them for the content that is on their platform. It's a good question. But in any case, they seem to have a parallel strategy. They will release it on F-Droid if it's not approved for Android. So apparently, I didn't know, but there are parallel app stores. So I think it's time we develop these things. If we're going to develop a parallel internet, we need parallel life form. They are working on playback performance. They will be allowing transcoding for everyone instead of just for the popular content. This will be major for a lot of users who were complaining to me. They wanted the MP3. By the way, the MP3 version of the show is coming very soon. My precious server is doing good. I love networking. I love configuring Linux firewalls. I love it. I've been thoroughly enjoying. And it's like, really, it's at the level of cocaine. Although I've never taken cocaine, I can imagine just how much pleasure people are getting from these drugs that create addiction. For me to recover my ability that I had 5-10 years ago to program, to set up networks, to create homemade scripts, Mama JF can witness that. She has been just seeing me in my dark room, isolated, up to 5 a.m. in the morning, just typing. And the server is working, by the way. I'm working on a lot of things in parallel. Some of this server function will be to distribute MP3s. The goal was to not to be on Odyssey and to eventually peer-to-peer the Odyssey content. Eventually, we'll have peer-to-peer live stream. I think this is where we're headed. And so I wanted a server for this. I've also started the website arguably.io. There it is. For now, it's just a media wiki page, but I've explained what was my plan here. So if some of you guys want to get involved on arguably.io, the goal is to create an encyclopedia of arguments. So I want to see the good arguments on there, but I want to see the bad arguments. I want us to have the question, is there any link between, 5G and the vaccine? And I want us to go through all of the claims. Okay, David Icke said this. Andrew Kaufman said that. The exosome theory. I want them to be all repertoried, classified, structured in knowledge trees so that we can just pull that data and say, okay, here's a list of 10,000 fallacies contained in 20,000 arguments published on 50 different platforms, and here's the complete review of the debate, and here's what's false, and here's what's true. If you want to get involved in this crazy project, which I don't even know if I'll be able to carry it on my own shoulders, but what I can certainly do is set it up and create the machine where your autism may eventually unleash itself. If you want to join the project, it's already started. And see, there are already people joining. I saw that a guy named Oliver just joined. I've created an account this morning. So arguably.io is working. It's a media wiki installation with semantic media wiki added to it. And the goal is to create a knowledge tree of all possible debates, all possible ideas that have ever been discussed, debated, stuff of that kind. I've been having a great pleasure updating my knowledge of these PHP structures. And Tillman says, JF, can Andrew England participate? No, for the first few months, I will be banning extremely edgy debates or things. And certainly I will be banning irrelevant commenting and trolling and edgy stuff. But I think there should be a place to controversial ideas and debates. They should be represented. That doesn't mean we will take the side of a debate, but it should be represented. But there's a couple of highly controversial things that I will be certainly removing from the beginning. Maybe one day the internet can be so decentralized that I won't have any obligation, but I still have the obligation of respecting Canadian law, you see. So there's the three big subjects, the three most controversial ones. I won't allow them simply because I would have legal responsibility and potentially criminal responsibility for hosting that kind of content. Live streaming stability, they will be working on the buffering issue. New ways for creators to earn. They want to build tipping systems through Bitcoin, PayPal. They also going to roll out a creator membership feature. My God, these people are awesome. We currently have an unofficial Roku app for you Roku users. There's still a lot to be done in developing, but it is available, usable, and is very close to being made official. As far as other TV apps are concerned, such as Amazon Fire TV or Apple TV, these will begin development this year as well. Wow. Odyssey is on their way to being a strong competitor to any alternative. Amazing. I'm very enthusiastic. I hope they succeed. Meanwhile, we learned that creators are being attacked, and in this case, Mike Lindell has lost all of his bank accounts. His companies have lost his bank accounts. He will basically be demonetized from IRL. I don't know if it's the correct term. Oh yeah, by the way, tonight is AMA, so if you guys want to talk to me, join the Discord. There's a Discord link in the description, and you can join the waiting room if you would like to talk to me. Before we listen to Mike Lindell, perhaps we can take a guest who's already in the waiting room. Fanatical Socialist is here. How are you doing, man?
Hey, I'm good.
So, what did you want to talk about?
I wanted to ask you your thoughts on the power of human brain logic and reasoning to counteract genetically informed behavior, specifically among differing human populations.
Well, we have to ask ourselves, does the question even make sense? So the power of the brain to counteract the power of the genes, essentially. But the brain is made up of genes. The brain is that way because of genes. And so the power of the brain is not distinct from the power of the genes. The power of the brain is a product of the genes. So I would like to point out that this is a nonsensical question.
Right. So do you think that it's with the example of like teaching a cat to act like a dog, right? You can teach a cat to act like a dog. And with human brains that are more complex, are you saying that we can't do that?
No, you can train a human brain to do various things that their ancestors haven't done. But that is a feature implemented into the brain called learning. And we have this because having learning was better than having no learning. So it's the genes that made this. So what's fallacious in your question is to assume that anything that the brain would do that's different from the ancestors is kind of a revolution against the genes. It is not. That's basically the point I'm making in the revolutionary phenotype. The brain is not a revolutionary phenotype.
Right.
Because when you ask, does the power of something can outdo something else, you have to ask yourself if the two things are different in the first place. It's like saying, can the power of $1 billion supplant the power of money? Well, it's circular. It doesn't make sense. If $1 billion was enough money to supplant the power of money, then it would still be money at in action here, because you would have beaten money with money. That's what I'm suggesting. The relationship between the genes and the brain are: the genes create the brain. You have the brain the way it is, including its ability to learn arbitrary stuff due to evolution.
Right.
Was that all for tonight, Fanatical Socialist?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. But I wanted to tell you that you should look into a coin called Chia. The ticker is XCH. It was made by the guy who made BitTorrent.
All right. Bye-bye, Fanatical Socialist. I will not check into Chia. I will not check into Shiba. I will not check into Shiba shit. I will not check into Shiba Moon Rocket. I will not check into Shiba Moon Rocket Elon. I will not check into Sheila Elon Moon Rocket. Why? Because I'm a smart investor. I'm waiting for Shiba Cum Moon Rocket Elon Mars Lawn. You have to be serious. If you're into cryptocurrency, you'll know the difference immediately. Shiba Cum Moon Rocket Elon Mars Leon. That's what I'm waiting for. Mike Lindell Bank is canceling him and his charities.
Lindell Foundation, Lindell Outreach, my store for all the entrepreneurs, and they want us to leave their bank. What you're going to hear on these recordings are horrific. They, because now that you have, it's manifested from this, Steve, they're bringing back a year ago and all these terrible outlets like the Washington Post. And I just had a call from the Guardian today. And then you have the Daily Beast. All of these outlets now are attacking me, reattacking me again, trying to say I'm some kind of a, let's subpoena Mike Lindell's records. As you know, I went after Pelosi and that big committee they got going to scare everybody. And by doing this, now these banks want to get part of the cancel culture. They want to cancel out all of these entities. The biggest one they worry about, Frank's speech, everybody. They want to silence Frank's speech. They want to silence my voice. Lindell TV, there's 9 entities on there. Steve, they called me. When they called my controller, I couldn't believe it. What do you, Lindell Foundation?
All right. So basically, he's been demonetized from the internet. The bank processors that were processing the payments to his web ventures and TV outlets that had been strongly involved in contesting the validity of the election. listen, this is definancialization, and that's why we must build a parallel internet. That's why we have been working on this for a long time, and that's why it's time we redouble effort. Now, Mike Lindell is a bizarre guy, you know. He used to be on cable TV. He used to be a mainstream personality. Somehow he decided to get involved into extreme commenting. Well, extreme. Extreme in the sense of extreme activism for given controversial positions, especially as it relates to the election. And so he's getting dropped. Hopefully, you know, Mike Lindell is big enough. I think that he's going to have the means to potentially help develop parallel systems. But will he have the intelligence? Because these boomers are very much trying to win within the system. They don't have what it takes to even think of a decentralized world. Mike Lindell could have a voice that drives people toward Bitcoin, that drives people toward decentralized platform like Odyssey. But these Trump MAGA types, they don't understand the game that is being played here by the system, and as a result, they're not very efficient agents of resistance. Fanatical Socialist is on Discord and he says, "Oh my god, it's Shia, not a stupid meme token. Anything except BTC and ETH are stupid meme tokens." until you can demonstrate to me otherwise. Of course, this follows on other cancellations from the financial world. Jan Malchung, that was about 10 days ago. PayPal just informed me that they have permanently banned my account without giving an explicit reason why. The supervisor was extremely rude and implied that it had everything to do with my politics. Yes, Rascal, Monero is good too. Sometimes I'm dismissive because I want to fix these shit coiners. I want to tell them, no, it's really BTC and ETH. But the reality is that Monero, you're right, totally is a respectable entity. Join me on Entropy. It is my favorite platform for super chats. You can support the show by sending super chats through Entropy. The link is right below the video, or you can use the support link on Odyssey. Odyssey has been awesome in developing a live streaming platform with financial capabilities that can maintain our shows. So much respect for these guys. Will the Democrats give up COVID and look forward? Because they have now, the heat is coming to their feet, you know. The pressure is coming to their feet. I was talking about this yesterday. They're going to have to abandon this whole oppression, medical oppression tendency that they've been pushing. Etoile is already on Entropy. She says, in terms of forbidden topics on arguably.io, what are the other two besides the obvious one we all know? Well, the thing is, I would be, is, yes, there's the one we all know. And then there's the question of race and IQ. We will get there one day, but I wouldn't want to be opening on this because I want the encyclopedia to have a mass of quality information. And getting right to it, the problem of the race IQ thing is not that the discussion itself couldn't would lead to our banning. It's the response. It's the particular truth. if reality had been in another way, we could all discuss about race and IQ and it wouldn't be controversial. The problem of the race and IQ debate is what will be the end position on it. Okay. It's a position that is not pleasant to the mainstream. So I'm going to leave this one two on the side. And when I say the big three, you know, I have to be honest that I'm not even sure what is the third subject I wouldn't cover. I think that there are certain things around discrimination that would qualify as a third subject, but I haven't thought it through. So that is what it is for now. Lee Nice sends a super chat. He says, I got vaxxed 4 times because I believe in the science. Okay, bro. Thank you. I'm still going to delete your super chat. Thank you for sending support. Go away, says, will arguably.io have a blockchain? I want every argument ever to exist in a decentralized, constantly updating, uncensorable format. I don't think that a blockchain is what we need here. I think that there could be blockchain elements to arguably.io, but I don't know that we want the whole wiki to be on a blockchain, simply because it's very easy to not make it into a blockchain and to simply make a torrent and to release it under a Creative Commons license. So there's no reason why all the arguments and the images and the pictures, all of it would be held in a blockchain. Let's not forget that a blockchain is a wasteful entity from a computational power. It's better to just package it in a compressed file and put it on a torrent. That being said, there could be blockchain elements to arguably.io. There could be a system of rewards, perhaps using a token. I haven't thought this through, but it's a possibility. Now, there are serious things we need to consider. Among other things, MediaWiki is not a particularly secure platform. You know, it's password and that's it. If we don't have 2FA, perhaps there are extensions for making it 2FA enabled, but I would be very hesitant to give people tokens of value on a platform that is merely protected by password and email. I think we need a little more safety than this, but it's I could consider emitting a token of some kind that could be on the platform and could also be taken to some kind of blockchain. Sprocket says, what was indicating that Colin Flaherty had an average to below average IQ? It's just that Colin Flaherty came on my show and I talked to him for an hour and he was just able to report facts. He wasn't willing to engage in any sort of even some kind of intellectual analysis of the meaning of his work or of identity or politics, any of that stuff. He was unable to comment anything about it. Just that says, JF doesn't care about Super Chat names or their content. As long as there's crypto or fiat going into his account is all that matters. Names and content can be removed. Well, I do care. I'm annoyed when people send Super Chats for provocative purposes. And if there was a way to actually deny the money and ban these people, I would. In fact, I might very well ban the guy whose name... When you come with a provocative name, the problem is... even if your super chat isn't violating the rules in and of itself, your logo and your nickname might, and I might ban you. I might increasingly ban people who do that. Carnival says, the reason the Democrats are downplaying COVID now is because the vaccines did not end the pandemic and people are angry. They should blame it on Trump's vaccine to let him home the blame. Yeah, but the extent to which they've backed the vaccine since then makes it impossible. They cannot now say it's Trump's vaccine that failed. It's nonsensical. You cannot be pressuring for more than a year for people to get the vaccine, and then suddenly you give up and you say, oh, it's because of Trump. Carnival says, they could say it's a pandemic of the vaccinated right now because of Trump's rushed vaccine. They couldn't say that because they've committed too much to the position that, oh my God, the vaccine is so great. You have to get the vaccine. We have to get the vaccine in as many arms as we can. Animer says, did you catch Vouch going all violent extremist on EMJ yesterday? It's at around 1:16 mark of their debate on modern day debates. I didn't. I don't have much interest in reviewing this right now, but I might check it tonight after the show. But it's not surprising, you know, all of these bread tubers are all signaling extremely heavily to their base that they are kind of Antifa terrorist agents, sleeping agents of a revolutionary cell. That's always been what they've been doing. And this has been true for Cenk Uygur's nephew. It's been true for Vouch. They always suggest, you know, maybe violence is a solution. Maybe we should put right-wingers in the gulags. It's and of course they don't get caught. If a right-winger says this, he immediately gets banned from YouTube. But they like to show that they have more power and more freedom of speech than us. England will scrap COVID passes and WFH at the end of the month because they are hard to justify now that Omicron is subsiding. With masks on trains and in shops, the only curb left. COVID passes to be scrapped this month after Saeed Javid killed off the policy. Health Secretary has concluded that COVID-19 certification is no longer needed. I guess that's what they wanted to say. Omicron wave is easing with daily cases yesterday falling by 40% in a week. We've been through this cycle before. They've just did it again. We've been through this. People had been wanting a vax pass, and then the Delta wave was subsiding, and they gave up, and They brought back lockdowns for Omicron. You guys don't know what you're doing. You don't understand the cyclical nature of everything in life. Sprocket says, is anyone interested in setting up a Mastodon instance? Well, you know, Sprocket has been annoying me in DM about, JF, Mastodon, this is so amazing. It's what Gab has done. Gab has produced a Mastodon instance. So the answer to your question is yes, it already exists. Gab is a Mastodon instance. It's a platform that is meant for social media that is decentralized. Someone was asking on Gab, Jeff, I have a question, please. Do you think a guy should kiss a girl on their first date? It depends on your level of wealth and popularity. If you're someone like me, a YouTuber, you can definitely just have sex in the first hour of seeing the girl. That being said, if you don't have this kind of glamour attached to your name as I do, if you don't have, like me, I have a platform where women listen to my voice, and so whenever I'm single, it's extremely easy to instantly have a woman who's already been interested sexually in me. If you don't benefit from this, kissing the girl on the first date might push her away. But you know, it's worth trying, because I've always been surprised by just how easy it is if you act Chad, and if you're kind of appealing to the girl, she will just let you. I mean, this is the great truth that Trump had revealed about women, but it was so hard to hear for the leftists that they shut it down, that they will let you do it. So try yourself. It all depends on your degree of value in the eye of females, but they will let you do it if you are perceived by them as some kind of star, some kind of desirable entity. And by the way, talking about relationships and girls, Dylan has written to me again. So Dylan is the guy who was telling us that he had taken steroids, and I was laughing at him for doing so. And he was telling me that I was giving bad tips to people, because I'm always saying to people, you know, build your wealth, build your standing in the community, your realizations, but you know, being beautiful is not the best investment you can make if you're a man. And I mean it relatively. Of course you have to be beautiful and it will help you, but I mean relatively to the other things in which you can have efforts, I'm saying it's a tougher slope. It's very hard to be so beautiful that it will matter to women around you. But he's writing to me again, and he was telling me that I gave you misinformation, that steroids are not associated with problems, with reproductive problems. And he was like, in his whole email, he's like, the effects are just temporary. You expect me to believe that products that could have a permanent effect, you want me to just commit to the belief that the effect will be temporary and not be alarmed? I will never be taking steroids. And he's like, you can take just some steroids for a month and then you're buff and then you... I'm not interested in the risk. Even if some other people have succeeded at being reproductive after, I'm not going to take something that gives even the temporary effect of diminishing my testicles. And I suspect that there are more than temporary effects. That being said, he wrote another email because I told him, you know, if you're happy with your woman that you got because you have big muscles, I'm happy for you. And you know, he's bragging about not having a job. He's bragging about he has to ask permission to his 75,000 a year wife to make expenses. He even asked her permission to send me bitcoins. So he sent me some bitcoins with the permission of his wife, because she's the one making the money. And now he's saying, and now I told him, you know what? I'm super happy you're happy. But if I was to recommend your lifestyle to a bunch of people, like 1,000 people on my show, what are the chances you think that they would be as lucky as you? That they would end up with a woman who makes a lot of money? That they would end up charming her and keeping her for a long time? And he said, I said, you're a lucky guy if you're happy, but it's not good counseling. And he says, my luck on what topic? On finding a high-earning woman who wants a himbo husband and doesn't make him work? By the way, the guy self-defines as a himbo. That is one of the most ridiculous thing I've heard. The masculine of bimbo. He is a himbo. He says, not many would have that much chance on finding a woman who wants a man in her life who looks and acts masculine and can forgive him for earning only as much or slightly less than her. The vast majority can be this lucky. I think you're deluded, man. He thinks that there is a good chance you will find quality women who are family oriented and who will be making as much money as you. It's not a good situation to be in. It's not a good position to be in. You are putting yourself in a situation where you are not needed, and I would be very careful. That being said, you know, again, I'm happy for him, but I don't think he has good I don't think he has a good argument for me to recommend to everyone on this chat to be doing like him. Ty Rogerson sends a super chat. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, I've never tested my IQ. Which site provides a legitimate test, or is the mere asking of the question a sign that my IQ is too low to bother measuring? There is a IQ test with the Raven mattresses. I think it's... I would go definitely for a Raven mattresses. Yeah, I would go for the psycho-tests.com Raven mattresses test. I've never done it, but it looks like something that uses the right mattresses. I had a good one. I think it was at the Mensa website. Let me try to find it. Mensa Norway. Yeah, go to, I will put it on the regular chat, the Mensa link right here. That is a good one. As long as it's the Raven, I would have to dig through. Let me try. Yeah, this is good. This is good. Start the test. Yes, the link that I've put in the description is the right one. That is a true Raven mattress test. It is cultural independent. It is represented as a solution to, like, if you're an African, it should treat you equally as if you're white. Not in the sense that you're going to reach the same level, but in the same that you're going to not be influenced by your knowledge of words, for example. There are some tests that are biased semantically. Go away, says boys, please don't have intercourse with a girl until you have taken her to a doctor you trust for a sexually transmissible disease test. That is a strong position. I haven't had that level of carefulness in all my relationships. I think there are situations where it's not needed. it's an evaluation of risks. And, you know, this evaluation of risk goes as follows in my head. If I wait for a clinic's test and we are in early relationship, that removes a couple of opportunities for baby making from me. It creates a period of buffer time where she might get another reproductive male to make her a baby. Therefore, I have to inseminate immediately. Therefore, it is against my interest to wait for a clinic's test. But that is some extreme, you know, it's extreme decision making. If you think differently, I respect that. All right, what Liquid TRP is there in the waiting room? Let's see if we can talk to him. Hello, Liquid TRP. Do you hear me? Hello. What's up?
Oh, fuck.
You're going to have to turn off your Odyssey. Do you hear me now?
Hey, man, what's up?
What's up? So, Liquid TRP, if I remember correctly, you were the man who goes into the wild. You have learned to skin rabbits so that you can survive in the wild. Have you been catching much rabbits in your survivalism?
No, I haven't catched a rabbit yet, but I got my shelter built, man, with an axe, a saw, and a rope. You can make a shelter in no time, man. And you can also, in military, they call it cache. You take like a plastic bucket, you fill food in it, and you bury it. Whatever goes, you bury it in a secret location in the woods, so whatever happens, you got food, man.
So what kind of food can be preserved for a long time like this? Are we talking like cans?
Yeah, canned goods and anything that like wildlife can't smell, man, you know, like canned goods. And du griot, man, du griot, c'est bon aussi. Du griot, c'est vraiment... oatmeal is really good, man, because it doesn't go bad and bears don't like griot, you know?
So what are the features of your shelter?
Well, it's just it's really easy, man. You take paracord, it's military rope, and an axe and a saw, and you chop down trees and you saw it down into little pieces, like Viet Cong style, man. Viet Cong, you know, in the Vietnam War there, the communist side, that's what they did, little pieces of wood and string. You can make crazy shelters, man. Just something simple. It doesn't take any time. It's really simple. Cause JF, I don't think this is gonna end good, man. I don't think I'm taking off in the woods. The first sign of forced quarantine, man.
Forced quarantine is what you're scared of. Are you in the U.S.?
No, I'm in Canada, man.
Oh,
I'm in
Canada.
The same boat as you.
Okay, because in the U.S., the vaccine mandate has been abolished by the Supreme Court. What's most likely going to happen now is that Canada will follow up and will realize that it's useless to be trying to constrain people like this.
I hope you're right, Jeff, but there's isolation sites across Canada, man, and Trudeau is a fucking psycho, and I think the medical fascists are gonna go all the way, man. Like, I'm scared. I think they're gonna go door to door and kick people's doors, man. Like, this... It really doesn't smell right, Jeff. It really doesn't smell right, man.
Well, the medical profession, they're not that interested in imposing stuff against people's will. It's mostly government agents and the good-thinking people of public health. But your average doctor, your average nurse, is actually pretty much in line with medical ethics and is repulsed by what is happening at the political level.
I hope you're right, Jeff. Like the medical profession is like, what are you guys doing? This is crazy. Like, people are dying. People are having syndrome. People are having heart attacks. This is poison. You guys are poisoning the. It's just crazy politicians and the crazy globalists, man. Like, they're always the people pushing the vaccine are obviously funded by the globalists, right? Like Klaus Schwab, the Davos. World Economic Forum, man, like they're obviously funded, you know.
Yes, there's definitely a network of international thing operating here. There is coordination. Things look way too similar across countries. those are not independent public health authorities reaching independent conclusions. There is a great coordinator.
So whatever happens, I have a plan B. So God bless you, Jeff. God bless you. I've been following you since 2016, man. I've learned a lot from you, man. I just want to say thank you. God bless you. God bless the chat. And just be prepared in case anything happens. Just have a plan B in case they go crazy, you know? God bless you, Jeff.
And it's not so costly to have a plan B, you know, to just be equipped to survive either in place or if you have to be on the run. Those are not things that will ruin you financially. And so if you have some amount of money you can invest on this, it's definitely worth it. Just that says too many coincidences is what JF is confirming and Liquid TRP is trying to say. Hashtag plan B. yes. What is the worst film of 2021? Readers have asked why the Better Than list did not include a Bad Luck Banging or Don't Look Up entry. My answer comes from WC Fields, Too Blatant. I'm impressed that people, that there are a lot of people, and even some of you guys in the audience, have really absolutely detested Don't Look Up, because to me it was a great movie. I understand that there was anti-right-wing propaganda, and I understand that it was deeply a leftist thing, but it's good to see leftists relax a little bit and be kind of funny. Go Away says, Djokovic visa cancellation overturned by judge, then cancelled again by the federal government. Government has no respect for balance of power and the judiciary, many such cases. Yeah, I've seen this news item, an undoing that has happened where Djokovic is back in a kind of limbo, a legal limbo, where the government is telling him he's not going to be able to benefit from public, from doing his competition and from being in Australia. We have a man named Barto who is joining us. Barto, how are you doing?
Hey, fine. Thank you, JF. So I've got a question for you. I don't know if the subject will interest you or the audience, but it's a question that I have since I started to listen to your show about 2 years ago. All right. Especially since we are in the current global situation. So have you ever thought about this current crisis in the perspective of hegemony?
Hegemony in the sense of a kind of imperialistic power control?
Okay, so I had this course at Université Laval in anthropology in 2016, and it was like a whole course on the subject of hegemony. And after some research, my conclusion is that hegemony by itself is a neutral process. So I would not be so easy to say that it's imperialistic or linked to oppression, but as anything that is neutral in essence, basically you can guide it in the direction that you want. So for me, hegemony is just the concept by which ideas travel through minds. Some authors will say that it's a way of manufacturing consent to oppress the masses, but for me, it's really just the process by which ideas are circulating through minds, gain traction. So I'm just be interested to know if the audience or maybe you as a thinker would be interested, like maybe using this concept in a neutral way to see what has been happening in the world for the past 2 years.
Yeah, it's an interesting angle. I think that there is no doubt that hegemony has been increasing. First, at the international level, there is kind of a taking of control through, in the COVID crisis particularly, taking of control of people's lives by essentially what are now international diktats, international rules that a country like Canada, they don't make a single independent decision. They just follow what the other health authorities are doing, and this creates more hegemony. And there's also hegemony within the social space, within dissenting opinions and how they are treated, censorship, financial censorship. So yes, I would agree that we have a taking over, because I'm looking at the definition of hegemony here. It is the predominance of one state or social group over others. It's definitely going on, and part of the mechanism is conformism in people and how they react to other people and to their institutions.
For the dissertation I had to do in that course, I decided to use, well, the main author that I analyzed was Gramsci. So I know some people may not like to hear that name for what it may be associated to. But in the end, the conclusion I came to is that you need to know how he was using the concept of intellectuals. So basically, there are two groups of intellectuals in his literature. So one would be called the classical intellectuals, and the other ones would be called the organic intellectuals. So you have the classical intellectuals will be the one that work for the system, and the organic intellectuals will be the one that either emerge from the masses, or at least people that comes from good families or that come from the system, but that has at heart the interest of the masses. And so I think we can also see a lot of people, a lot of thinker, pseudo thinker, but really those people seems to side more and more with the system. So basically, even people that comes from the masses seems to end up to bend the knee, if I can say it that way, to what like the system wants you to think. So I really think we are in a particular moment of humanity where people don't really have their agency, if I can use that word.
I agree. There are more and more tests of faith. You know, the whole, do you wear a mask? That because not wearing a mask makes me look like a Republican. That was a comment from a leftist. And I think these tests of faith, these kind of yellow stars that people can wear, that is definitely having its effect and participating to the hegemony. I agree with what you've stated.
All right. Well, that's it. So thank you.
All right. Thank you so much for coming. And it's good to hear the Quebecois accent.
Yeah, sorry about that. I'm a bit rusty today.
Thanks for coming. Well, yeah, I mean, don't be sorry. I said it's amazing because it reminds me of being in Quebec and speaking with people who don't know how to speak English. It's great to hear. We failed. Danish newspaper apologizes for publishing official COVID narratives without questioning them. In August, Germany's top newspaper, Bild, apologized for the outlet's fear-driven COVID coverage with special message to children who were told they were going to murder their grandma. Now, a newspaper in Denmark has publicly apologized for reporting government's narratives surrounding the COVID-19 pandemic without questioning them. We failed. That was their statement. We have stared at the oscillations of the number pendulum when it came to infected, hospitalized, and died with corona, and we have been given the significance of the pendulum's smallest movements laid out by experts, politicians, and authorities who have constantly warned us about the dormant corona monster under our beds. The constant mental alertness has worn out tremendously on all of us. We have not been vigilant enough at the garden gate when the authorities were required to answer what it actually meant that people are hospitalized. Of course, it is first and foremost the authorities who are responsible for informing the population correctly. In all, the messages of the authorities and politicians to the people in this historic crisis leave much to be desired. It's good to see these mainstream outlets eventually apologizing and essentially taking the kind of position that I've been taking since the beginning of COVID. There has been fear porn here happening. There has been a seeding of an unjustified state of anxiety in the population. Sprocket says on Entropy, I heard you describe your poker face method of confronting random COVID-related aggression directed against you. What would you do if the aggression included getting in your face, perhaps poking, standing very near you, tapping on your shoulder, or gently pulling you by your clothes, not enough to justify a self-defense situation, but enough to be very annoying and demeaning? And if this happened somewhere where you couldn't easily leave, like waiting in line for important things you need to accomplish very soon? You create a kind of weird situation. I don't know to what extent. My first reaction depends on if I really have to keep my place in the line. My first reaction is to be defensive and to be withdrawing. I don't think I would let a situation happen where someone is in a position to significantly start poking me or to be in my face. I would stand back and I would take a ninja position, probably. It's what I would do. I would essentially show over preparedness, maybe make a little judo preparation move, and I'd be like, fireball thrower position, that kind of stuff. I think that's what I would do. It never really happened, I think, in my life, maybe when I was very young in school, but as an adult, I don't think this ever happened. I think you can act bizarre enough that people are scared of poking you. I think that's generally my strategy. Be so odd that the person is afraid of poking you. You kind of activate the part of their brain that says, this guy is fucked in the head. Carnival says, I couldn't finish watching Don't Look Up. I can't laugh at jokes when I know the leftists are taking our rights away. They have dangerous motives behind their jokes and parody. Yeah, I guess that if you take all of this too seriously, it becomes impossible to laugh at their joke. I can fully understand. It does waste the joke. Hazard Harrington says, I work in big tech, a name you would know and have probably used before. Wanted to give a rundown of what it's like from the inside right now. Obviously, insanely radically left-wing. BLM, LGBTQ, trans flags hanging in office, pronouns stated before meetings, special affiliation groups for everyone but white men, all what you would expect. But COVID / WFH, what is WFH? I've seen those syllables 2 times today. Oh, work from home. That's what it means, work from home. So COVID and work from home has totally broken people. They are fundamentally weak, often with no social support outside of work. They're the people with no children, no spouse, only a dog or cat for emotional support. There's constant talk, even now, about how hard things are for everyone. Often meetings start with going around the room to ask, how is everyone feeling? Literally everyone else went on sad rants about their lives. I'm so mad a white supremacist shot 3 black men in Kenosha. It's toxic. When it got to me, I said, I'm doing good. And then a lady engineer literally proposed that we should not be allowed to answer the question positively. I shit you not. I think it hurts her that I wasn't as miserable as her. She made some argument about vulnerability. These people not only want you weak, they want you to expose your vulnerabilities to them so they can exploit them. They may not intend this explicitly, but whatever twisted ideology they worship ends with this result. So back to moral. Everyone is demoralized. This may surprise you since big tech is extremely well paid and has been able to work from home throughout the past 2 years. They've been given extra days off, extra stipends, bonuses, etc. They never had to fear being laid off. I have some sympathy and can feel some of this myself. It's normal and natural to work with people in person. Work from home can make it easy to overwork. You take fewer breaks, often work past normal working hours. You don't feel connected to customers or celebrate success in person. And as I mentioned, big tech is often the only social life for people. I fortunately never made it mine, but my company had all sorts of after-work activities, sports leagues, game nights, different classes taught by employees. There was a rhythm and connectedness that's gone. The Great Resignation is real. Many employees are leaving for better jobs. Remote work has so far resulted in more job opportunities for those working in big tech, especially outside of Silicon Valley. But it's good to have an update from the inside of the big tech crappy mega empire. Unvaccinated father stripped of visiting rights by judge. The man says he is not inoculated, but he follows other COVID guidelines. This is absolutely scandalous, and it's always sad. It keeps happening. Whenever there is a new right to be violated, the family courts are always up there first, trying to constrain, threaten, extort, in this case, medical decisions from parents. The fact that fathers have to even beg for a place in their children's life is what is wrong to begin with. The fact that some judges are able to use this opportunity of deprivation of rights to further deprive of other rights and threaten the loss of other rights is absolutely unacceptable. Abolish family courts now. Honey says, you said once it's not to YouTube's long-term benefit to censor like they do. Are they aware it's not to their benefit? And if yes, why do they still do it? Well, I think that it depends how you conceive of their interest. You know, they may have a plan that where they don't plan to be the most innovative video sharing platform in the world going forward. That may be their plan. They may have a plan where most of their money doesn't even come from the people watching YouTube. It comes from large billionaires just donating money to them so that they keep a certain angle. The same way cable TV was doing, by the way. Cable TV was essentially being purchased by billionaires who would decide, I want you to have this angle in your coverage. So if that's their plan, they will they are headed that way. The only way they can ever make money then is to essentially sell the ears of their audience to rich people. But when I say it's not in their interest to censor, I say in the sense of being the platform toward which people are dragged for a free engagement, a free society, a true YouTube, a cable TV that's about you. That was the sense of YouTube, and that's what I mean when I say that they are failing to understand their own interests, but they may have other interests, and it may be rational from their perspective to essentially push us away from it. Perhaps they don't want good thinking. Perhaps they don't want original engagement and honest engagement with opposing views. Washington State refuses help with snow clearing from unvaccinated county workers. So they had this whole... they had a lot of snow. Unfortunately, the image has disappeared, but the streets were covered in snow, and there were people saying, "Hey, we can, you know, we can remove the snow. We want to help our city," and they were like, "No, you're unvaccinated. You can't help us." So people have to endure worse conditions. They have to endure streets in which they cannot drive, just because the unvaccinated that would be ready to snowplow through, they can't do their job. Cannabis compounds block COVID-19 from entering the body. Our research showed the hemp compounds were equally effective against variants of SARS-CoV-2. Wow. equally effective against variants of SARS-CoV-2, including variant B117, which was first detected in the United Kingdom, and B1351, first detected in South Africa. Orally bioavailable and with a long history of safe human use, these cannabinoids, isolated or in hemp extracts, have the potential to preserve as well as treat infection by SARS-CoV-2. There it was, staring at us right in the face all along. This is why. This is what cured Joe Rogan. It wasn't ivermectin. Joe Rogan was just filled with cannabis. Dark Urza says, this article on cannabis is fake. There were the screenshots of Forbes magazine reporting how Pfizer invested into cannabis, and suddenly it's helpful also. Also, they just want people to smoke more weed to be lazy. Oh, I'm not giving... I'm just laughing at this news item. I'm not giving it any credibility. I don't know. Maybe you're right. The findings were published in the Journal of Natural Products. Oh, yeah. That doesn't seem... That seems like a highly biased journal, one that would be pro-natural products. I don't know. Is it true? Is it false? I don't take a stance. I wouldn't smoke cannabis just to try to escape a virus that has less than 1% chance of killing me. Not worth it. I will die sober if I need to. People were sending me this website, Kialo. It's a website a little bit like what I'm dreaming of for the wiki, for arguably.io. It's a website where you have a debate question and then you have pros and you have cons and people vote for pros and cons. I like this. I think it pretty much is what I'm looking at in terms of arguably, in terms of how it could look. But the way I see what we could do that's better than this is not to just talk of pros and cons, but to really link in a semantically relevant way the arguments to each other. Because I think that when you look into something that is a pro-argument for abortion, like access to legal abortion improves the health and safety of women, there are priors in this argument. For this, you need to be taking for granted that the safety of women is a value. You need to take for granted that reproduction is not what sex is made for. And I think that this is what our wiki should highlight. Not so much that it would be different at the higher level from this, but that down into the detail, into the claims and what they mean, we could go much deeper. I would want to go much deeper than Kialo, but it's a great website. So again, for those who were not there at the beginning of the show, I will put the link to arguably.io. It's a wiki that I just opened. I own the server to it. If you guys want to participate to a collective project in which we will autistically be documenting... Yeah, and Nicholas Petris points out they use the term pregnant people. They don't even use the term woman. But see, that's another thing I would like to see on arguably.io. I would like to see the whole debate of there are only two sexes, you know? Who's saying anything against this? What are their arguments? Let's document them. That's what I see for this wiki. So join arguably.io. You can already create an account. If you want to start pages, go ahead. I've explained on the main page what I envision. I envision a website in which we would be documenting all claims. And so imagine an article that starts with, there are only two sexes. Okay, give me a list of people who say that that's true. And then give me a list of people who say that that's not true. And let's start listing their arguments. What is the basis on which a leftist will tell you there are more than two sexes? And how do these things qualify as sexes? Like, if you're going to tell me there are 52 sexes or there are 52 genders, what is the definition of a gender? And how is it being argued that there are 52 genders? That kind of stuff is what I'd like to see. Stephen Gilbo wants to phase out Canadians' energy in the next 18 months. How disconnected can Justin Trudeau's activist minister be? Say no to Gilbo. Stephen Gilbo was confirming on Twitter, we were given a mandate by Canadians to go further and faster on climate change and to seize the opportunities in the green economy, ensuring all Canadians are part of the transition. As part of this plan, we're committed to phasing out fossil fuel subsidies by 2023. Okay, so he doesn't want to phase out fossil fuel. He wants to phase out fossil fuel subsidies. This may mean different things, but in the end, I think it just means Canadians are going to keep paying more and more for all this fuel. Carnival says on Entropy, I've had the best 2 years of my life because of COVID work from home. I do feel pleasure knowing those silencing our speech are miserable. Yeah, it's amazing. Work from home is what I've been recommending since before COVID. and so I'm very happy that COVID somehow brought us there even more. And it brought people who would have never heard about this. All right, what else do we have in the news? Poll finds 10% of Americans trust media on COVID, 30% trust Fauci. A new poll has found that just 10% of Americans trust the media when it comes to information about COVID, while just over 30% trust Anthony Fauci, 50% trust the federal health authorities like the CDC, 63% your doctor, 15% the Biden, and 10% the news media. Those are terrible numbers. Terrible numbers. Absolute failure for those people who wanted to establish an authoritative channel of communication from the institution. They have ridiculed themselves. They have been inconsistent. They have been irrational. They have been defending everything and its contrary. Sometimes with a separation time window of 1 week, like they would take a position 1 week, it would be another the other week. And most importantly, their entire program is inconsistent, internally contradictory. When they say, all right, we need everyone in America to have the vaccine, and then the vaccine is shown to only be effective at essentially lowering your risk of hospitalization, but not so much at lowering your spreading. They tell you need everyone in the country to get the vaccine. The other moment we learn that the vaccine doesn't stop the spreading and Omicron develops in countries that are highly vaccinated. That's why we need something like arguably.io. That's why I have great hope that you guys can help me document all those claims, say, okay, this is a contradiction of this. Connect those, show them on a graph. This is the state of the big lie that we're being exposed to. Alec Baldwin has a comment. He's publishing live stream videos, I guess.
The best way, the only way we can honor the death of Helena Hutchins is to find out the truth. That's what I'm working toward, insisting on, demanding.
The truth, it seems to be, you shot your coworker. Seems to be that for a guy who's been laughing about right-wingers and the right to bear arm, and who's been complaining against it, and who's been saying that there were irresponsible people with firearms, it seems that you qualified under that description. That, in other words, you should have tweeted about yourself before.
The organizations involved in this investigation do everything in their power to find out what really happened. That's
why don't you tell us what really happened? I mean, so yeah, the institutions, they have to. Bro, you had the gun in your hand. It seems like you're in a very good place to help us understand what really happened.
That's all that matters. The best way to honor the death of Helena Hutchins is to find out the truth. And any suggestion that we're not complying, myself and any lawyers I'm working with or what have you, is a lie. That's a lie.
So he says, we are complying. It's a lie when they tell you I'm not complying. But then look at what he says.
We're going to, as soon as we go through this process, then by all means we will.
This is something I'd like to see on arguably.io. See, he says any suggestion that we're not complying is a lie. In fact, as soon as we're through this process, we're going to comply. It's worth rewatching. Let's rewatch it from the beginning.
Way, the only way we can honor the death of Helena Hutchins is to find out the truth. That's what I'm working toward, insisting on, demanding that the organizations involved in this investigation do everything in their power to find out what really happened. That's all that matters. The best way to honor the death of Helena Hutchins is to find out the truth. And
this is where it happens. He says, any suggestion.
Any suggestion that we're not complying, myself and any lawyers I'm working with.
Any suggestion that we're not complying, myself and any lawyers I'm working with.
With or what have you, is a lie. That's a lie.
Is a lie. So if it's a lie, then it means you should be complying. Therefore, it shouldn't be stated in the future tense that you intend to eventually comply. So he just told us, it's a lie, I'm complying.
We're gonna, as soon as we go through this process, then by all means we will comply.
As soon as we go through this process, by all means we will comply. So the suggestions that you're not complying right now are not a lie, they are true. This is the kind of inconsistency that needs to be exposed. NASDAQ extends the worst start to a year since 2009 as Fed sends rate hike odds soaring. Okay, the stock market is not in a superb shape, but BTC has been giving some encouraging signs of at least stabilization. Jeffrey Epstein brought 8 young women with him on his trips to see Bill Clinton at the White House, displayed photos of himself posing at the briefing room podium at his Palm Beach mansion. Okay, so there was no doubt that there were connections between Jeffrey Epstein and Bill Clinton, but it seems that they were extremely regular in nature. People have been sending me this on Discord and they wanted to have my view as a scientist, they said. It's the whole conspiracy theory of Dr. Andreas Nowak, who would have started complaining in November, would have started complaining around graphene being present in in the vaccine, and he died of a heart attack on the 26th of November. And there is a circulating conspiracy theory that somehow he was killed by the authorities for exposing the fact that there's graphene in the vaccine. And you know, the one of the fallacies in this whole presentation, and I won't show you the bottom of it because it gets disgusting. They show disgusting image of the effect of graphene and the chemistry of graphene and why it's dangerous. If there was graphene in the vaccines, although, you know, that there is a, I believe there is a case in Japan where two people died from a little, from a batch that had some pollutant, including graphene potentially in it. But if there was graphene in general in the vaccine, that would be very easy to prove. People could just pop vials and make the test on them. It's easy to identify when graphene is present. So we would have, we would certainly have the ability to prove it if there was. So as long as I'm not going to see that kind of data, and you know, he's been in this whole set of image, they claim to be making some Raman band analysis. I'm looking at it right now. Graphene standard sample. Unfortunately, it's a spectrum analysis that I don't find particularly compelling. Crystal structure of graphene. How many of the batches would you find that kind of graphene in? Those are questions left open by this. I'm not satisfied by the data here. We don't have satisfying proof that there is a probabilistic, anyhow, high probability risk of finding graphene in the vaccine. I would want to see more population-based data, like test at least 100 vials and tell me in how many of them do you find graphene? What's the concentration of the graphene? I don't see any of this in what has been sent to me. Someone says, sends me a link that says a sense of hope with graphene-based COVID-19 detection. Well, that's a totally different subject, whether graphene can be used as a technology to detect COVID, maybe not. I don't know what's the status on this. But whether graphene is present in the vaccine, that is a separate pollutant and quality control matter. All right. That is it for tonight. Oh, there was one last news item. What's going on with Nancy Pelosi's son? House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's son, Paul Pelosi Jr., has been called out by the Daily Mail over his close ties to a host of frauds, rule breakers, and convicted criminals, yet has never been charged himself. Once dubbed the rising prince of the Pelosi political dynasty by the now defunct Men's Vogue. I love the sound of it. The now defunct Men's Vogue. That is not something I'd like to have on my CV. Like, I was named the rising prince by Men's Vogue. What about you? Okay, Skatie is sending me a Frontiers article explaining the strategy with graphene, carbon nanotube, and plasmonic nanosensors for detection of viral pathogens, opportunities for rapid testing in pandemic like COVID-19. Yeah, where I don't think that graphene in this thing is the, I don't think it's the working principle. The working principle is probably the plasmonic nanosensors, and they just attach it probably to surfaces of chemical graphene, simply because graphene is a kind of kind of unimolecular layer of that is structured as a sheet that is extremely thin. So it's probably just bearing the detectors here. Liquid TRP says they found crystalline shapes in vacs, perfect square shapes, possible nanocircuitry, maybe. Can I show you a video, JF? Well, you can send me a video in DM on Discord and I'll review it, but let me tell you that whenever I receive these videos, they almost always end up being unprovable. It's almost always the case that there's no way for me to verify that this is not a scam. You know, people send me BitChute videos with 20 views and I'm like, okay, how do I assess whether I'm faced with a scam here? Is there anyone there telling their real name? Are they saying things that are verifiable, that I could verify myself? Are they saying things that were reproduced by others? And to all of these questions, generally the answer is no. And so you end up saying it could be a scam. But yeah, send it to me on Discord in DM and I'll review it tonight. And I would talk about it on the show if it has any credibility. But most of the time it doesn't. Carnival says, insanity defense, Alec Baldwin as clever liars. I don't know if Alec Baldwin could qualify in an insanity defense because he's been speaking about all this on the public space. He seemed in control of his emotions and in control of his thoughts, so it would be very hard at this point, in my view. That is it for tonight. Will the Democrats... Will the Democrats give up COVID and look forward? 5 people say no, 2 people say yes. Well, with the news we're getting from the big tech sector, it looks like they are very attached to the idea of, oh my God, we are at the middle of a pandemic. It's so hard. Things are so hard. I don't know how many years they can keep going like this, but it's certainly not going to be good for them in the election. George says, take notice of the luck viewed stuff. I don't know what that is. I don't know what you're talking about. All right, everyone, have a good night. And if you would like to start unleashing some autism, gather some arguments, create some pages on arguably.io, the server is up, create an account. For now, not all of the options of the media wiki will work, but you can certainly start laying out a structure and start investigating a given argument, and let's see how it goes. Let's see what are the kind of organizational structures that we need for an encyclopedia of that nature. And I like to do it in practice. I don't like setting up these projects in advance and thinking about them. I think we just have to fill this encyclopedia with knowledge. And as the knowledge comes in, we will realize exactly what we need in terms of displays, in terms of structure, etc. Skatey says, is article making monetized yet? No, there is no cryptocurrency system that you would get rewarded with. However, here's a promise I could do, which is that if I ever make it a rewardable system, if I ever create a cryptocurrency where you're going to get these tokens as a reward to add an article on the wiki, I would certainly retro reward any people who have been doing the early work. In fact, if anything, I would reward them more. But I can't do promises on this because I don't know to which extent there are the programmatic structures available to reward people based on MediaWiki contributions, but I'll be looking into it. That is it for tonight, boys. Much love, and I will see you all tomorrow. Thank you. We'll be right back.